Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Hang on. That's fucking not worked, has it? Shane's looking at me daggers. Right, hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 209. And I'm never celebrating a draw, fuck 'em. But there's a relief. So let's get Liverpool out of the way. I thought we'd quickly get Liverpool out of the way with my doom pre-match. But get wind-ups out of the way. Newcastle apparently have lots of injuries and fatigue and tiredness. So that's the reason they've been up and down. But United are just imploding and we're shit. And how dare you try and stop another team winning a game of football? I mean, this is obviously against rule 5367 that we've never heard about. So from where we were and what happened to us last season, not only is that a perfectly acceptable performance, we're not celebrating, we're just relieved that Christmas is saved and not ruined. And we showed a steel and determination we haven't shown in a big away game for ages. So the outcry was just ridiculous. But Newcastle are fatigued. Newcastle are fatigued. So, and I'll tell you what, it even gave me, I'll go to Ben next, but it gave me a little bit of hope that I suddenly, yesterday morning, had a pee. And I thought, imagine if we do show that fortitude and we get Martinez back, and we get Casemiro back, and we get that invention from Eriksen that was missing because he hadn't been playing well. And I suddenly allowed myself to a little bit of dream, and I thought, I haven't felt this for a while. So, yeah, all round, just fair play. Evans, Varane, I thought Shaw was excellent. More of it, though, because there's plenty of shit shows ahead. But prove, hopefully, a bit of Christmas spirit that there isn't, and wouldn't that be nice? But the ridiculous inference that how dare United show the steel that they haven't shown all season, and it somehow offended the dignity of the Scousers, just fuck off. Right, so this is a Christmas pod, but I realise Christmas isn't for everyone, so if it's just a pod, but I know Christmas isn't for everyone, so do it how you see fit, and for the people, however you're going to do it, just take care of yourselves, please. So we're going to do a lot of nonsense, a lot of waffle. We've got a couple of quizzes, we've got a couple of questions, and we're just going to talk tangents, I think. But first of all, Ben was there, so what was it like, mate?
Yeah, I was really pleased with it, to be honest. I mean, I'm happy to celebrate a draw in the context of what happened there the last two seasons and how this season's been so far. I thought it was a really good defensive display, which we've obviously has been lacking all season. So that's a positive because, you know, you're never going to be successful in any way without a solid defence. So, you know, I thought Varane was outstanding. Evans was good, Shaw was good, even Dalot. And Nick knows my feelings on him. But I thought, you know, until they sent it off, which was ridiculous anyway, you know, he had a good game as well. So it was a really solid back-to-the-wall defensive display. And as you've said, I mean, there's a lot of snobbery in football these days. I don't see anything wrong with, you know, even when we were a good team, we used to go away to sort of the bigger clubs and you know, you'd be happy enough to come away with a draw. So I don't know where that's kind of gone. I thought it was a good performance from that perspective. Obviously, on the ball, you know, we lacked quality. It was like a cat on a hot tin roof when we did get the ball a lot of the time. And, you know, the front three do worry me, really. They just, you know, obviously there's potential in at least two of them. I'm not sure about Anthony, but they, you know, they do look very lightweight. And I think when they came up against Liverpool's defenders in Bayern Munich a few days earlier, you know, they did look, particularly in the Munich game, I thought Hoyland looked a bit out of his depth, really. So that, you know, that is starting to worry me in terms of where the goals are coming from. Because, you know, it's great to put in a performance like that, but obviously the next thing is how do we play at West Ham on Saturday? You know, we've obviously got to have a bit more attacking threat and intent at West Ham. So I'm not getting too carried away, but what I thought was it didn't look like a team that had given up on the manager. So I think, you know, that's obviously was I think Jose's last game 4 or 5 years ago, is that now? And obviously, it could have been very difficult for Ten Hag to kind of recover from a heavy beating there. But it looked like the team were playing for him to me. And it was nice for once it felt like the team and the fans were, you know, on the same page. and obviously going for the same objective. So yeah, it was a decent day, and I have no qualms in celebrating that. And as you say, it was amusing the next day, the ABU media frothing at the mouth because they were all waiting for that big defeat, which didn't come. So they had to change the angle, and as you say, it was parking the bus this, parking the bus that. But yeah, nothing wrong with that for me.
The only time that it's ever acceptable in the world to shit the bed is at Anfield, where you can perfectly shit the bed. What was the atmosphere like, Ben? Because all the videos I saw of our end looked good, but you couldn't, I mean, theirs sounded awful, but you couldn't really, ours didn't come across that well, but that I'd blame on Sky, that.
Yeah, it was pretty good, really. It seemed like a pretty decent end. And obviously, the longer it went on, it was obviously trying to get the team over the line, really. So it was decent enough atmosphere. I mean, there's always a bit of a strange end at some of these games, isn't there? You know, there's a couple of lads in front of us filming at various periods and just looked made up to be there. So there was, you know, there was a bit of a mix in there, but it was a pretty decent end overall. I think, you know, the kind of the end you get there is much better than, say, at the Etihad, where you split over three levels. So it was fairly decent throughout the atmosphere. It was good.
Even though relieved, I wouldn't ever want to watch that. I wouldn't want to watch it back. But, you know, you did say, you think with a bit more confidence that the chances we created, and again, Harry Kane, you know, that's not a dig at Hoyland, but it's like there were a couple of moments where you thought, if we were four or five games into a run, playing like that, then you sort of, but you've got to take that chance to make it one. I will say there was Luton City last week, and I just turned it on, and the Luton fans, I couldn't work out what they were singing to Grealish, but it was something like, you're just a shit, something. But not only did Sky then, and it's whatever, 9:30 at night, apologise for the language, which I thought they just said shit. And then the second thing, you could see mid-song as it got, you're just a shit, that they turned the volume down. And I thought, if football isn't muted enough as it is in this era, they're actually playing with volumes during game, as we know from the Glazer out chants. Right, Coggy, have you got anything to add from Sunday?
I mean, from our point of view, you know, we pissed off all the Scousers, and, you know, I don't care how we played, that's good enough for me. And I believe there's the village idiot on TalkSport, Gabby Agbongolo, apparently we ruined his Sunday, so job well done, to be honest.
You just wonder, like, they're just waiting, as Ben said, alluded to. They just wait for our slip-ups, and when it doesn't happen, that, you know, I shouldn't be their petty ABU. Shane, you got anything?
No, I think, like, yeah, Ben's... Yeah, I mean, Ben really, I think... I wouldn't say celebrate. I thought it was a good, solid defensive display. Like, it was a pretty dull game, but, like, there's no shame in going away to Anfield and having a bit of a dull performance. I think we needed not to lose, foremost. Yeah, I think, as Keane sort of said afterwards, you know, a lot of very good United sides have gone there and played out for similar results in the past. So, yeah, I thought it was a good, solid display. I kind of can't get... Like, with United this season, it's so hot and cold and you never know what's going to come. Like, in a way, you take the moments, as we said before, but I'm not getting too carried away in a sense that, like, it was good to see some resilience. But the important thing, as Ben said, is they need to go to West Ham and put in a performance as well. You know, it's no good having one half-decent game and then capitulating again. You know, we saw against Bournemouth that this side can be fragile and, you know, one thing goes against them, as we, you know, I feel like we're repeating myself, but, you know, I think West Ham's quite a big test. They're doing okay this season. It's a way we, you know, a bit of a cliche in football, but, you know, you can really make or break a season over Christmas. You get some funny results. And I think it's important that we come out of West Ham with something and then win, you know, a tough game at home, Boxing Day. So, you know, we've got to get something on Saturday, I think, really, for the performance at Liverpool to count.
My morning,
if that makes sense.
My morning pee, yeah. The confidence was, I think we're going to win on Saturday. So there you go. I don't know where this has come from.
Well, I've always quite liked a bit like 1980s fashion. I've always, like, a game just before Christmas and coming out the ground singing Jingle Bells, a lot funny is talking away. So I've got like a child in me wants to be singing out on Saturday.
Let's please take this with us. Nick, have you got...
My last thing, Barney, is just, like, when you were to talk about how you felt, I, like, it was a bit like you said you were having a pee. I didn't really see the relevance of, like, you had this thought about United while you were having a piss.
Well, that was it. That,
did you really need to tell us that? Well, just told us the thought.
I thought context of where I was having this thinking process about it. Well, at least it wasn't Lee Grant. Nick, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good. So,
hang on, Nick. You gone. Norman Collier again. You've gone to shit.
I was nervous coming in.
Right.
And I expected the worst.
Nick's gone.
Barney, while we're waiting for Nick, I mean, obviously I'm a man of more many years compared to you, but do you only have one wee in the morning? Is that, you know, your morning wee?
Well, I mean, I'm still...
You're not drinking enough water,
Barney? I do because of my AIDS, but it will come to pass, I will say. But at the moment, I'm quite happy, unless I've had a beer and then the Niagara Falls floodgates have opened. Hello, Nick. That thing with your sound has gone again. You turned Norman Collier.
Hopefully it's come back.
Yes.
Yeah, I was nervous about Sunday, I'll be honest. You know, I think like many, I thought we were in for a bit of a pasting. We're very unorganised in midfield, and we have been at the back. And considering that we flung a centre back pairing together that really haven't had any experience together in Varane and Evans, I thought they were both outstanding. You know, Shaw and Dallow put in a great performance. I thought Onana was great, and that back five were pleasantly surprising. It's great to see them up for it in a bit of fight. Hopefully, that can. You'd say it'd be a springboard, but there's just so many injuries and there's so much rotation that goes on in the team that, you know, is there any chance that anyone can build any consistency for it? We'll soon see, because we've got a terrible record at West Ham. You know, Villa are obviously high flying. These next few games are pretty ugly, but, I mean, if someone had offered you a 0-0 draw going into Anfield before that, I don't think anybody would have said no.
I really like Christmas. It sounds facetious to say Christmas would have been ruined, but if we'd have got battered, you know, been there, if what had happened the last few times. So from that, just again, it's not celebrate. So we're going to go on to Nathan now, because he's moved on from a less seedy Bangkok. I thought, how bad were the other places if Bangkok wasn't seedy? And this is his bit. From Liverpool, and then we're getting on to the Christmas bit, because we can't have Nick saying there's impending doom in the next couple of games. This is supposed to be the cheer up part.
Hello everyone. It's 1:30 in the morning. I'm in Bangkok and United just won 0-0 against Liverpool 30 seconds ago. It's just finished. I have no idea how we didn't lose that game, but fuck them. We defended well, which is lucky, considering that's what we did for 99% of the game. I really feared that it was going to go badly, but I think they weren't really on it, were they? Which was lucky for us. So where I've been to... last time I spoke, I was in Ho Chi Minh, so since then I've been to Cambodia, which was mint. Phnom Penh is even... I said on the last one that Ho Chi Minh was seedy. Phnom Penh's even seedier. It's a bit, really, quite grim. And then from there I went to Siem Reap, which is where Angkor Wat is, which was amazing. I'd say that was probably the highlight of the trip so far. Really good. And now I'm in Bangkok, which is really good. Just watched a game out the back of a little minibus on the side of a street, serving cans and bottles and stuff, and it's been great. Barney told me not to go on negatively about the game too much, because this is going to be part of the Christmas pod. And to be fair, there's nothing really negative to say about this game, I think. I think, you know, I'd love us to have attacked more, but, you know, we didn't lose, and I think we all feared that it was going to be a smashing, but it wasn't. So that, I know that maybe that's the level that we're at the moment, but I'd rather not get smashed. I'd rather it be 0-0 and not get smashed. So, Yeah, coming into the game, it felt like, I think Ben got offered a ticket for the game today, like a yesterday or the day before, and it just felt really reminiscent of when me and Nick got tickets a couple of years ago when it was last minute and it was just before Christmas. And it turned out to be Jose's last game because no one else wanted to go. But, you know, that's a point. We've got a point that no one thought we were going to get, so we'll see. Quickly, like, looking in the chat, I think I said earlier on in the game that Luke Shaw was my man of the match. I think he's been brilliant. I think I flippantly said earlier on in the season that he'd be the only person, if Bruno wasn't going to be captain, who's going to be captain? And I said Luke Shaw. I stand by it. I think today he put in a performance. I think, you know, I think we missed Bruno today for his attacking, because I don't think anywhere, we didn't have anyone in midfield that could have gave anything going forward. I think Mainoo played well. I understand he was a substitute because he probably would have got sent off, but we had no one going forward. That's why we missed Bruno, but I think we played well. I think it was the right, you know, to get a point, we played the right way. What else have I got to say? So they're doing the Christmas thing, aren't they? So I think they're doing a thing about the favourite United goals ever. I'm sure we've done this before, Barney. But yeah, my favourite United goal has got to be Rooney against Newcastle, Old Trafford, 2005. I was there. I was with my granddad, my grandpa. I used to sit. His season ticket was 10 rows behind the dugout. Prime seats, and it was just mint, wasn't it? That's mine. If I'm going for one that I've seen in person, it's got to be that. I don't know what else he's doing in the Christmas thing, other than Nick's doing a quiz. Hopefully it'll be better than play your caps right, because that's still really, really shit, Nick. Why did you do that? But yeah, I've got a week to go. One more night in Bangkok and then heading down to the south to the islands for the last few days, and then fly back Boxing Day, land back Christmas Day, and then fly back Christmas Eve, land back Christmas Day, and then at 5 o'clock on Boxing Day I'll be outside Old Trafford selling Red News. The cold is going to be a shock. I'm not looking forward to that, but I'm looking forward to selling again. I think, you know, I've missed it. So yeah, this chat could have been a lot worse. I was expecting it to be really bad, and I'd love to have won, but, you know, it is what it is. Glory, glory, Man United, and to the regiment. I love you all. Let's have it. See you later. Goodbye. Hello again, it's me again. There was one little thing that I forgot to mention that I think is, well, worth mentioning. So before our game started, so I turned up at this little, I'm just literally on a little side street in Bangkok, little van, and it's got a TV. It's like Pimp My Ride. They've opened up the boot, there's a TV, the side of the van is a bar. Like, genius. Like, if I get some money, that's what I want to do. Turn up somewhere, put the football on, sell some beers. Sounds great. What I wouldn't do is what this guy's done is, in between the fact that they were showing the Arsenal game, so the end of the Arsenal game was on, stopped the Arsenal game, went to put United on, and on the screen, he's obviously getting dodgy streams and stuff. The first thing that pops up on his frequently used apps on the big screen, I'd say, I'm looking at it now, it's probably 40-inch TV, so it's big. His most popular app that he uses, that everyone can see, there's probably about 100 people at this time watching it, dirty bastard, is Pornhub. So, yeah, just, this guy has been travelling the length and breadth of Thailand, doing God knows what, watching God knows what. But yeah, I put in the group before, I sent a picture of it to the group before we actually got the game on, and I was like, well, we're going to be watching a bumming whether we see the game or not. So, but yeah, we didn't lose. We didn't get bummed. Oh, I don't know if you're allowed to say that. We didn't lose very badly. But yeah, what a, you know, mint, we've won. Let's move on to next week and see what happens. I forgot to mention earlier about doing, everyone else is still doing the Mind fundraiser. I've done another 100k on the bike whilst I was in Cambodia. So I don't know if Barney's adding that to the thing for everything, but I'd like it to be. We're raising loads of money and it's really important, so if anyone can add a bit more. Everyone else is still doing stuff. Nick still hasn't done the thing that he says he's going to do. Is he going to do it? We'll see. I'm joking, he'll do it. But yeah, just keep donating, and yeah, it's a really important cause, and yeah, they need all the money they can get, so let's do it. Right, I'm walking home now. It's now 2 a.m. Got one more day here, one more night after tonight, and then on again. So I'll be sad to leave. We're in the final stretch, but I'm sort of looking forward to getting home, and the thought that my first proper meal when I get home is going to be a full Christmas dinner is sort of feeling good. So yeah, as I've said, I've already said, glory, glory, Man United, and up the regiment, and yeah, it's not all bad, is it? Life's good. Let's keep going. See you later. PPS. I know I've just said that we won. I know we didn't win. I'm not that pissed, but it felt like a win. As I said earlier, we won a 0-0 game. So, just for the pedants out there, I know we didn't win. Okay, goodbye.
And we're back in the room. Right, cheers, Nathan. But we'll say, you say, haven't we done the best goals before? Nathan, we've done everything before. We repeat ourselves. That's what we do. And if you can't, in a shit show of a season, we've got to have some joy. So let us choose some games. I work on a couple of things and then I'm going to go to quick hates. Right. Loose Women, Chloe had on. And one of the things they were talking about, like, I don't know, fucking fuck knows what they talk about. But one of them said, you've got to trust the process. And I thought, I had LVG flashbacks on Loose Women. I thought, I'd never have done that. We're so bad recently that Eric has a new jacket and not one of us has mentioned it. That feels sad. We're not Googling the price. We're not checking how much it is. Can we afford it on whatever the thing is? My missus also does Vinted. So the doorbell goes and there's a bloke with like a paper bag and it's got 15-year-old fucking underpants and stuff like that. Anyway, she was wrapping this huge jacket in and I was saying, oh, you've sold it. Yeah. And it was a nice jacket as well. How much for? £2.40. I said, and they offered me a quid at first. I said, you're going to more effort to wrap a good jacket for £2.40. Yeah, it's vintage, isn't it? Using my masking tape, which probably costs more than £2.40, so shove your Vinted up your arse. Pret, I went to Pret, Nick's Pret the other day, and I can't handle the pressure. There's about 8 people waiting for cappuccinos, and instead of saying names, they just go cappuccino, and then you inch forward, and someone else goes, no, that's my fucking cappuccino. I can't handle that sort of thing. Right, on a little thing, I mentioned anxiety before. I read a thing, I can't remember who wrote it, saying, we have all these anxieties about different things in life, yet we're leaping, taking steps on a globe that's moving around a huge object that is finitely burning itself and heats us. And yet no one says, I'm fucking freaked out by that. And it made me think. Right, so that links into Manchester Mind. Please support it if you can. We're on the last few days. I've got to, fuck knows, 260,000 steps. It's hard. I'm going to go Tory Man United here because it's darker and two things have affected me. The leaves, I'm like an old codger trying to do when I'm out at night, because I think all the councils, and this steps from when I was at Old Trafford and here, they've all dimmed their lights. They're not as bright. Night lights, lamps in the street are not as light as they used to be. So it's harder to walk. So that's why I'm struggling, people. But please donate if you can. You can also donate a second mag. Get this mag if you can. Right, any hates of the week, Shane? I always go to you.
I wasn't feeling any hate till I listened to that long list. I was thinking, I was trying to be festive, yeah, but yeah.
Neighbours, you said well, one last thing, but on the bloke on the train, the Spanish bloke on the train, when we did on the second before last, he went, is this really real? And we were like, yeah, this is as shit as it gets. Yeah. But his expressions of Marshall are shit. And you said to me, I won't mention Neighbours just yet, so it's got me enticed. Is this a panto fear?
No, it's not a panto fear. Like, so I've got a couple of hates. I'm just going to go back to your lighting one, because you prompted me that I was walking...
Like, they've dimmed them. They've dimmed them in the streets.
Worse than that, and some of them, they've turned some off now, and they're saying it's like for environmental reasons, which is bollocks. It's because the bastards have spunked all our money, and now they're trying to claw some back. But the one in our station, local station car park, which is a big car park, you have to walk across. The council have turned off all the lights in the car park, so you have all of us like walking across pitch black car parks at this time of year, which is not only like dangerous for pedestrians, you know, women and girls safety, all sorts of reasons they've done that. And that, so, you know, the bastards have just blown all our money, and their answer is, well, let's put vulnerable people in the pitch black at night in the car park. So that's one of my hates.
I'm a vulnerable person in the darkness, Shane.
Well, yeah, but the neighbours one was like, I'm not like, as a bit of a
Coggy's looking like, what the fuck is coming up now?
Coggy looks like he's gonna do
you know, what's going to do. We've got your favourite TV characters. I'd nominate Coggy as a fucking gangster the way he looked at you then.
So Neighbours is an example of this. It's like, it's when people, my hate is when things say, this is the end, it's all over. And then they come back, the lying bastards. So I'm not a fan of Neighbours at all these days, but I used to watch it as a youngster, you know, at lunchtime and this kind of stuff. It was a bit like a guilty pleasure, I guess. A few of us used to watch it, but well, it comes back into a question later, actually, but Kylie and Natalie and Brooklyn and others, and what particular attractions to me for watching it. But last year, or this year, was it? Earlier this year, they sort of said it's the last ever episode of Neighbours. So my wife and I thought, for sentimental reasons, we're tuning in and we'll watch this last ever episode of Neighbours. It was absolute garbage. So I went, you know, I devoted myself to watch this last ever episode, and then the bastards bring it back on Channel 5 or some bullshit. It's like, what's the fucking...
That's...
Tell me it's finishing, so I watch it, and then fucking bring it back. You hoodwinked me.
If Paul were here now, he'd say that's too much hate for a breaded product stroke Neighbours. Really, Shane, come on.
Well
I know I've just ranted about Pret.
Yeah, it's my hate and not yours, so I'm sticking with it.
Any others? Come on, we've got to up the game here.
I've got hate this week.
Go on.
I'm so annoyed. Do you know that Scandinavian shop, Sostring Gren, or whatever you call it?
No.
You know, it sells everything for like £1.47 and stuff like that, and it's all like very festive and things.
No.
Well, I'm looking to get some, here they are, great radio, isn't it? Some little pads, you know, for presents.
Yeah.
The missus sent to get some and sent me a link, and they were 88p. And the shop is a maze. So you can't just walk in and buy something and leave. Once you're in the shop, you've got to follow it all the way around. And obviously it's like full of like Christmas decorations and candles and crap and wrapping paper. That you get stuck behind everybody. That if someone's looking at something, you've then got to like ask to move around them. And it takes forever to walk around the shop, and it's a one-way system.
Oh, it's like Tiger, Copenhagen.
Yeah, exactly the same thing. Like, yeah, kind of thing.
Got you now.
It's the IKEA model, isn't it?
Yeah, but in IKEA you can at least go round people, can't you? They've got arrows on the floor.
Oh, it's like Vegas. I don't like places where your exits are forbidden. You've got to have exit points to get out in case of emergencies. If Die Hard happened, you need to know where you're going.
Oh, you know, but I carried on walking through, and I walked all the way halfway up, and people go, "Oh no, we're the queue." And I'm thinking, it was going through like halfway around the shop as it is at this time of year, but I had no idea. I'm just walking past everyone because it's just like, as soon as someone stops, they start looking at everything. You can't get around. Don't ever go in there.
How do you cope with the prep mania though? Like someone's, they say a soy latte, oatmeal, happa kappa kappa.
And, I don't like it.
No.
It's chaos. And the one that's now on Oxford Road, the one that's on the corner opposite the Mackies and the Fremantle, that one there, they had a divider. So it was like, you stand on the right and you're ordering, you stand on the left and you're waiting. The divider's gone.
We have given Pret way too much time in this. It's been a bad year for United, or a bad 6 months. Coggy, any hates?
People who wear coats and jackets.
Oh.
Because, no, but you go into a, I don't mind them wearing them outside if they want to be wimps, but you go into a building, right, and they take them off and they put them on the back of the seat, put them on the floor, put them on your seat, and it's just utter chaos. And I think the world would be a far better place if the jacket and the coat had never have been invented.
Ben, we've got a right on collection.
I've got a few. The first one is Christmas, if I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah.
I do like Christmas, but I find at this time of year, the kind of pressure to spend money that you don't have, buying other people things they don't need, is ridiculous, you know, and it's just the kind of commercialisation of it, I think, does put a lot of pressure on people, so that winds me up a little bit. My other one is Lego. That's been really annoying me this week. The kids are into Lego at the moment. Little pieces everywhere. I keep standing on them, finding little things everywhere. And I know already that people are buying them more Lego for Christmas. So
get on, really get on Playmobil, Ben. It's bigger bastards. Less hard on your feet.
Yeah. And the other thing I was going to say, which we've already sort of covered, was the ABU media. And specifically, Gabby Agbangbahor, who mentioned, and how disappointed they were that we haven't been hammered at Anfield, but actually it did make me smile as well.
Can I just say, there's an easy solution to this. Stop, buy a fanzine, stop listening to that utter shit, and listen to this utter shit instead. But you are right, like, it isn't. I've got good mates who Christmas, you know, is not for them for a variety of reasons. All I'd say is, like, it passes, and it goes quick. And the thing is, like, just how quick this year goes is just bonkers. But right, I've got a question for Coggy specifically, and then I'll put it out to the group. Which team did we play 6 times in 1979 and 80?
6 times in 79 and 80. So we'd obviously have played them in the FA Cup and the League Cup as well, haven't they? So
have I got you on that
one?
No, it's twice in the League Cup second round and then FA Cup third round, and third round replay Spurs. Now, remember, but I'm totally, so 6, is that a record? We're back to the shit research on this. Is that a record for a season?
Was that the ideal as winner at Hoddle went in goal in the replay? Was that one?
Oh, you got me on that, Coggy. Sorry, I will say best festive game, one each, I'm going. Just for the pure, it wasn't even a win, but the pure, Eric Mania had just started, 26th of December 1992. We were just starting to think, oh, we were starting that flirtation that Shane mentions. The swooning had started, and we drew, came back 3-0, and Eric McChockey with his get the ball and then race back to the halfway line, and Eric flapping his shirt. And that, it just always gets you, because, you know, Boxing Day, I know Ben loves it particularly, but high amount of goals like the old days, that gets me. Coggy, what's yours?
Well, I had 3, and I'll just briefly...
Go on, yeah.
One of them we actually lost. It was 5-3 against West Brom. One of the best games I've seen in a long time at Old Trafford. It was in between Christmas and New Year. The other two were both on Boxing Day on Merseyside. One of them was 6-2 at Everton. We got hammered on the Saturday before by Notts Forest, who went on to win the league, and we'd lost a couple of games before that, and we all thought we were going to lose to Everton and end up winning 6-2. But probably my favourite one was Boxing Day at Anfield, when Norman Whiteside scored the winner about 15 minutes to go. And I'd met up with a work colleague who was a Liverpool fan and her husband, and they drove me to the ground. They were in the Kemlin Road, and I got a ticket in the main stand. And apparently, when United scored, I was the only person stood up in that main stand cheering, and they said they could see me from the Kentley. And I took a few slaps, by the way. So it was Liverpool away, Norman Whiteside, about 15 minutes to go.
Well, they say that West Brom was the greatest ever United defeat, don't they, really? But, you know, just the football sensational. The YouTube, it's in the snow. There's sad, there's a depression, you know, like there was racist abuse, which should have, it was not many were calling it out that day, but that, you know, they were absolutely brilliant, like the watching it. And what, how many times did you go in the home end at Anfield for us?
Probably about four or five times, and plus once when we managed to get out and walk down to the United end, the Anfield Road. But I mean, Leeds I've done four or five times. I've done most away ends, basically, a few times back in the 70s and 80s.
I did it. I never liked it, I have to say. There were some that you could take the piss at, but I'm talking the bigger games. Just never. Right, Ben, you bathe yourself in festive football.
I do. I bathe myself in it. I like Boxing Day games. I've always liked getting, just kind of having a break from, you know, Christmas and family and just going to the match on Boxing Day. But my favourite one that came to mind was actually on the 27th in 1995 when we beat Newcastle 2-0. I remember it was freezing cold, slipping up White City was like an ice rink. So it was a freezing night. It was a brilliant atmosphere, really good win, and basically started that title chase that ended up being with us winning the league, the double in 96. So that is my favourite Christmas one.
I like that. Shane?
I had a couple. The first come to mind, but the Whiteside one winner at Anfield was one. But the one I went for, I don't know, it just seemed at the time I enjoyed it, was the, it was New Year's, it might have been New Year's Day, was it, the win over Liverpool at home, Russell Beardsmore. Fergus Legends at the moment. Yeah, so I enjoyed that day.
And then we lost the next day to Barrow, summing up United of that era.
I thought you were
going to say QPR then, Shane, when you said New
Year's Day. Dennis Bailey, the only thing he ever did in a football. I will say, Shane, thank you. You are part of the Red News system, but you're not really a classified as a seller. And you did in a after Bayern, and you got to shove it up your arse to take one for the team, weren't you? So thank you for that, Shane.
I know you've always said it, but I had a little bit of it at Fulham away, actually, but this one was like and it wasn't like a young man. He was, I would say, the bloke's older than me, and I'm an old git. Every time, latest Red News or whatever, he said, "We're shit, it's shit," and then he said, "Say it again, say it again." And I thought,
marvellous.
I said Red News. I'm jumping behind. He goes, "It's shit, it's shit, we're shit."
Thanks.
I was like, come on, fucking go home, go to,
And thanks.
Do whatever, some people are just lunatics.
Yeah, and thanks for that support. Really appreciated. Fucking hell. I will say, it made me think though last week that if we had Reservoir Dogs nicknames, I know he had a good game at Anfield, but I would call Delo the cheerleader because his high fiving is just dead mad. And Nick, what's your favourite?
I think I'm probably showing my age here compared to the rest of you there, because Athlon
fixtures
just listed, I
wasn't bothered. No, here we go.
apart from Ben's. but I've gone for the same fixtures, Ben. But I went for a bit of a more modern one, because one of the games that I don't really massively love Boxing Day football, I've got to be honest with you. I'd rather just be sat at home with some wine watching it all on telly, but we always seem to be at home on Boxing Day. But the one that I really enjoyed going to was 11 years ago when we played Newcastle on Boxing Day. We won 4-3 and Hernandez scored in stoppage time. Johnny Evans won in that game and scored at both ends. That was one of the best games of football that season. It was fantastic. It was absolutely end-to-end. Newcastle were great. We were probably a little lucky, but it was just end-to-end, getting seven goals in a game, scoring in the 90th minute. Can't really think of any better ways to win, can you? So probably going to have to go for that one, I think, just to keep it a bit more recent.
In your age group, Nick, is that? Right, I will say, for everyone who wants to support the mag, don't be the tossers abusing us. Go on, now's your chance. Buy a mag, donate a mag. Seriously. I will say, Nick, though, do you know what he keeps doing? Nasty Nick. He sends me reels of dodgy bridges around the world on Instagram. Now, I rarely check Instagram, and I rarely check Instagram messages. So I'll look, and there's just Nick having sent a really dodgy, death-defying bridge in, like, China. And he'll just leave it like that, like, mock the old man, why don't you? Getting on back onto the mag, where everyone has a story. So if you are bored or you're tearing no hair out over Christmas, if you've got an hour, Coggy did it for the Bobby Charlton, this mag, which is, you know, like the tributes, thanks for the kind words. But if you've got an hour, great story, disagree with something, the mag, please, please, got four mags after Christmas, get writing. Right, we'll leave your quiz till the end, but have you got anything to answer about your dodgy bridges, Nick? Making a man phobic, even more phobic.
I just think it's good to face your fears head on. Like, I'm like Shane, I'm not a great flyer, but I'll still get on a plane every so often, you know what I mean? So, you know, you've got to
no,
face your fears.
No, aren't you, Billy, big bollocks. Right, what should we go to next? Oh, no, a couple of things. One, hate of the week. Can I still include Anthony doing that fucking ridiculous flick this way, flick that way, like off his feet, and then still not taking the man out last week? And I think it made me laugh that there's rumours that Martial, if a daft figure from Saudi came in, we'd accept a bid in January. So United saying, you know, there's no good business to be had in January. And this is the man we were starting a few weeks ago. And then suddenly, it wasn't great. He shouldn't have got booed, but still... maybe I'm being unfair, seeing his arse has got an illness or whatever. You just think, Anthony Martial, you know, like it went Liverpool and it said, Anthony Martial is injured. So instead of the gloves as his tribute, as his statue, it should just be, Anthony Martial is injured. Right, so best United goal. Nathan, up yours. So this is just what I typed up earlier. It's off the top of a head, so it's no, Barcelona's exempt. It's just quick streams of consciousness, but we've had enough doom and gloom. So, right, I'm going to go. So then we're going to list them all. Mark Hughes, belter, Sheffield Wednesday, 5-0. I loved that goal. Norm Forrest, 2-2, showed his skill. Still so underrated. Jesse was tough, but he was fucking great with the ball. Norm, it could be. Semi-final. Buckham versus Everton, one of my first games at Old Trafford. Absolute, he didn't score many, and it was absolute bedlam after he did. Hughes versus Oldham Wembley, just that was a proper goon. So you include not just the greatness but the reaction to it. Rooney Newcastle, City obviously, but also the Debbie free kick that was, yes, a sign that we are buying the best in the country. Harry Kane, that we just, and that knowledge that, oh, we've got something special. Van Persie versus Villa, Eric versus Scouse 96. I maintain that my Zen was so happy that we turned the perch around. Barcelona 3, all the goals there, cold by the scoreboard, just brilliant buzz that day. Cheering, yes, knowing that we've done it, the celebrations. Martial, Everton, I will give him that credit. That was a glorious, glorious moment at Wembley. Martial, Scouse, Rio even versus Scouse, Ronaldo versus Spurs in the 5-2 comeback, Eric versus Arsenal 1-0 when we were winning 1-0, Robbo 85 semi, his just look of absolute yes. I could go on and on and on. What I will say, watching the Bobby Charlton and the best goals, but it made me think, and I've said it before, watch the Dennis Law goals, cherish this man while we can, because just we need to, you know, and watch. So there's nothing better than having a glass of red or a beer and watching old great United goals. And then that Eric, one of my favourite goal celebrations, Blackburn, just before the Kung Fu kick, crossover, Eric, and he goes bang, bang, bang. And that Dennis Irwin looking for Eric goal and green off. Right, Coggy.
I've only chosen five.
Oh, sorry. I didn't think I'd sent a limit on this one.
You did?
Oh, shit. Sorry. Anyway, I got carried away.
And most of them were before Nick was born. So, George Best, 68 European Cup final. You know, we'd gone into extra time. That Benfica were probably slightly on top going into towards the end of the match. And then Georgie weaved his way past a couple of defenders to put it 2-1. Sammy McElroy in the 3-2 win in the quarterfinal at Wolves in 76, 2-0 down and won 3-2. Norman in the 85 Cup final against Everton, I mean, a cracking goal.
Sparky in the Cup Winners' Cup final against Barcelona, and the second goal, the angle that he took it, we all thought he took it too far, and he got direction and power absolutely incredible. And then for its importance, Sparky's goal against Oldham in the at Wembley to make it 2-2, because he basically, obviously, kept us in with a chance of, and eventually. So there's my five.
Happy days. Right, Ben?
Yeah, there's a few that have been mentioned already. Number one for me, I said this to you, I think a few weeks ago on the WhatsApp, is the Cole goal versus Barcelona in 98. I just love that goal. Every time I see it back, the football was just sublime. And, you really felt we were sort of arriving at the top level, going to Barcelona and putting them apart like that. Giggsby Arsenal 99, an obvious one, but obviously it's got to be in there. Cantona chip versus Sunderland, could have easily gone with the Sheffield United one, but I think it was just the celebration that followed with the Sunderland one that's so iconic. Irwin versus Spurs in 93, the one where Eric chipped it over to him, would be Spurs 4-1. The Scholes volley at Villa, could have easily gone for Bradford, but I was behind the goal at Villa. I wasn't at Bradford, so I went for the Villa one. The Van Persie volley at home to Villa. The Hughes goal against Oldham in the semi-final saved the double, basically. I could have gone for 10 just for Mark Hughes alone.
Yeah.
Versus Barcelona in Rotterdam, love that one. I've gone for Lee Martin versus Palace in the cup final, because that was my first trophy, and that was what really kind of got me hooked, glory and bastard that I am. And then finally, again, an obvious one, but I couldn't leave Ollie in 99 out, so that got in at number 10. I very nearly went for Martial against Everton, and I would say that is my favourite goal post Fergie, but I didn't want to upset Nick, so I left that one out.
Right, Shane.
Yeah, I've some of mine already mentioned, but yeah,
like, doesn't matter. Go for it. Yeah.
The Giggs goal at Spurs 92, yeah. Was it? Just
that was great.
Like, I just thought it was like a beautiful goal, but it was also the start of something really special for both him as a player, us as a team. So it just felt like everything was perfect in that moment. Brian Robson 1985 FA Cup semi final. The first of our two goals in that game, I just think it's like a great goal, and it just typified Robson as a player, and obviously it was against Liverpool semi-final, so it had everything for me. And the same season, like, it's a bit of an obvious one, but it was the second FA Cup final I saw us win in the flesh, but it's still one of my top three all-time favourite games, and that was the 85 FA Cup final, Whiteside's goal. Why did you say, was Barcelona excluded from this?
Just because that's obvious, that's never going to...
Well, I had the Sheringham equaliser, it's just because I thought I'd kind of more or less given up hope at that stage. I've not used one as well.
I've not contacted Teddy yet, I'm going to do that tomorrow.
I had the huge one as well, for the reasons you've all said, saved the double. I was in that corner and he celebrated right in front of us. It was a good moment. Just as we thought we were, it was all slipping away. I've got the Rooney derby overhead kick, just because it was obviously, it's a derby, it was a great goal in itself, but it was like, I could think of several, but I was with Connor, he was young at the time, and it just was a sort of joy to him to see an overhead kick of that quality, so it was a bit special for us. I've got the Pearson, the first goal in the 77 Cup final, the Pearson goal, sort of like feels iconic for. That was a team that I kind of fell in love with, United. The Whiteside 83 semi, and I also had the best goal at Collie said. My last one's a bit of a weird one, but I didn't realise when I wrote it down, but it was on this date in 1992. It was Cantona's first goal at Chelsea away, and I remember it was just like the day was a bit of a boozy day for me, and I was really wet and cold. In the ground, but it was like I was a bit cynical about signing Cantona. I didn't, what do we know? I didn't think it was the right thing. And then that goal, to be there, he scored, saved a draw that day, and then obviously went on to, we all know what happened next. So that's a bit of a wild card one for me.
Great, Nick.
Got a couple that have already been mentioned, so I'll
No, mention them. Mention them. Fuck it.
I'll still mention. I did do 10, but I tried to not replicate, you know, players. So if a player was in it once,
To be obtuse. I love you, mate.
You could have easily filled this with 10 of Eric's goals because you know that two. He does get mentioned twice, but I've gone for the Rooney volley versus Newcastle. I mean, great. I was arguing with the ref. The Cantona goal at St James's Park, where we made Keegan have that rant. I love that goal. The Rooney overhead kick v City. Ince's goal versus Ipswich Town when we beat them 9-0. We break 0 up, and it was just the desire to score. Keeper off his line, the urgency. I just love that. That ruthlessness about it, which just makes it for me. One of my all-time favourite Man United goals is the Kanchelskis volley against Forest. It was on a Monday night. Like early in August, one of the first games of the season.
First live Sky game month we had. Yeah, 800 allocation, that was.
Love that goal. Love that goal. Love Kanchelskis. The Roy Keane header versus Juventus in 99, brilliant. Cantona's FA Cup final goal against the Scousers, perfect. The Giggsy run. And then probably the best goal I've ever seen live, potentially. Certainly one of my favourites is the Evra goal against Bayern Munich, where he just smashed it in and had the greatest 50 seconds of our lives. And then, like Shane, I put a bit of a weird one at number 10, and I couldn't exclude him from this list, is my all-time favourite, Darren Fletcher's goal against Everton outside the box was an absolute peach. So just anything to get DF24 mentioned.
Can I just say, you said you wouldn't mention another player twice, and you then said you've mentioned Cantona twice, so that's not good statistical...
I said that to you. I said he does get featured twice.
Yeah, well... But I thought the original plan was not to.
Well, I mean, look,
I'm just picking on you for the Bridges videos, Nick. Right, I will say, can we just have a moment to celebrate Manchester United once again finishing a year as fan engagement champions? All hail the fans for them. Right, so a couple of things. The Kane thing that didn't come clear last time, I promise this is the last time, but he scored two at the weekend. I've got to let it go. I've got to let it go. We would have, though. We would have in the old days. The rumour is Kane's staying. His family is still here. They're commuting back and forth all the time. He's coming back a lot. He's there for 2 years. I'm just putting it out there. Right. The Bobby Charlton, thanks for the kind words. For me, there's no player, even though the bestie love affair, and obviously mine with Cantona, there's no player that so embodies what United is. So that's why I tried to put everything into that editorial. So please read it if you can. Right, so we're going now to favourite. I've wanted to ask this for ages. Now, I've excluded Ian Beale, but it's favourite TV characters. Nathan, who'll be back selling for Boxing Day, it's just Nathan selling. He just put Paulie Walnuts... case closed, end of, while he's now on a beach doing whatever in Thailand, God forbid. Right, I'm going. Now, this is hard because it's a bit... You could go the early Doors characters, you could go comedy, but I'm going for longevity, long serious. Right, so I'm going Sipovic, NYPD Blue, but which could be... He was Bunts, wasn't he, in Hill Street for a while. But what a role, what a character. I think they said he played a TV detective 29 times. So he fucking perfected it by this. Then I'm going Belka, he's Hill Street Blues. We'd all want a Belka supporting us against the Shove It Up Your Arses Brigade. Obviously the Don, Tony Soprano. I've never been able to pronounce it right. Deadwood. Sheringan. I could never get it right. I can never. Sheringan. I just can't do it. Everyone's looking at me weird. I just can't do it. Now, the fifth one I found hard. Now, to wind Shane up, I thought, shall I put Charlie from Casualty? Because you always need a Charlie from Casualty in your life. Shane's looking in disgust. Defo not Ken Barla, the half pint supping bastard. So then I thought, Saul in Homeland. Then I went, Bill Blixby, is it in the Hulk? You know, that was what I was going, that solemn music as he walked off in the distance, wondering what his existential life was. But I'm going Ruth in Ozark. Because I thought she was a fantastic character. That's me done. Ben?
Yeah, good one there with Ruth. She was a good character. She's not on my list, but... number one, I had Del Boy. Could have gone with a few from Fools and Horses. Thought about Trigger, but went with Del Boy. Number two,
Father Dougal Maguire from Father Ted. Number three, this is in no particular order, by the way, Tony Soprano, as you said, he's got to be in there.
Has to be.
Number four, Roger Sterling from Mad Men. Brilliant character.
Never watched it. Don't hate me.
Oh, you've got to. He's a fantastic character. And at number five, I went with Jimmy McNulty from The Wire.
Never watched The Wire. Paul hates me for this. I've got to get The Wire on the... I know.
I could have picked a few from that, but, you know, he was the one I went for. And I had a question mark next to Jim Royal, because I've been re-watching a lot of Royal Family Christmas specials this week. I've been wrapping presents. And a lot of them have really stood the test of time. I was watching the 99 one last night, which is worth a watch if you've not seen it recently.
No,
well, any of the characters in that, again, fantastic.
Yeah. I will. The one with the turkey... trying to cook the turkey, never decline a recliner. Good point well made, Barbera. That is just my go-to. I've said it, that is my go-to Christmas red wine episode. Love it. Right, Shane?
Yeah, Ben's ones were good there, particularly Father Ted. He didn't make my list, but it's good. Yeah, so I've got the first ones of a Pete. I've got Paulie Walnuts, Sopranos. I've got Norman Stanley Fletcher.
Oh, good. Porridge. Good.
I've got Murdoch from the A-Team.
PB.
Murdoch. And that was my nickname at work for a little while, behind my back. Like the crazy fella, but he's a bit weird, but he sometimes gets stuff sorted out. I was quite chuffed to be called...
Yeah, that's quite a good one.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You'd want that rather than man, fucking wanker, yeah. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, of course, fucking Wango, I've got Batman, the Adam West Batman.
Oh, a bit.
This particular hero.
Oh, a bit. Quiche, that's
Leon
a quiche.
Leon from Curb Your Enthusiasm is my...
Oh, that's a good one. Right, I'm going to go coggy like Nick.
I had a tough one with this one. I agree with Paulie. I couldn't decide between... Paulie or Tony, but so I did put Paulie down in the end.
Has to be Tony.
Yeah, I don't know, I do quite like Paulie. All mine are comedy. I'm not that serious when it comes to TV, so I put Chandler Bing, Sarcasm's on point, Dwight Schrute from the US Office, incredible, Super Hans from Peep Show, Randy Marsh from South Park, Alan Partridge, how no one's mentioned him yet, he's a surprise. Yeah. And a curveball for the Simpsons nerds is Hank Scorpio, features in one episode, and he's absolutely on point. So yeah, there you go.
You can tell you're young, Nick. Your choices, about three of them just flew over my head. So who are they? Right, go on, Coggy.
Yeah, I mean, all of these before Nick was born. No, I've gone with Mick Belker as well from Hill Street Blues, the undercover cop.
Yeah,
same as you, Barney. Incredible character. I've gone for Ray Donovan. You smooth bastard. If you've never watched Ray Donovan, you need to watch it.
No, never seen that either.
Apart from the last episode where they play fucking Walk On at the end. So just do everything apart from the last 5 minutes and you'll be okay. I've gone for Blackadder in all his various reincarnations. I just thought he was absolutely incredible character. Immortal from Gomorrah. Zero, I thought was brilliant. And is it Villanelle in Killing Eve?
Oh yeah, shit. Yeah.
Yeah, gone for her as my five. I did have Alan Partridge in the last seven, and the others was Waldorf and Statler out of the Muppets. I love those.
That's me and you, Cookie. I will say you do a good impression of Belka, like, alongside us. I don't know why. Like, no one wants to cross you. You just growl a little bit. Right, the best... Quick question. I'm going to throw a few more that you didn't know I was going to ask you. Although, Van Dyke, I will say, I do have sometimes a bit of a love-hate relationship with what Keane says, but he was bang on. Like, Van Dyke, get back... Like, a quote from Mark and Ben last season, get back in your box. What are you going on about? You know, like... You're dissing United. You're not dissing just the performance. Get back in your box, mate. Right, best TV you've seen this year. I'm going to go Succession because I think the opening episode's the best TV episode I've ever seen as a single get, that you know everything about what's coming from that episode. I'm not going to choose sitting down and watching Liverpool the 0-5 or even watching Bournemouth 0-3. Best TV you've seen, Coggy, this year?
Bloody hell. Succession is hard to beat, in fairness, but I'm...
I only started it this year, so that's why I'm putting...
Yeah. I'm going to go with the recent series of Two Doors Down.
Okay. Shane?
Yeah, I actually don't... I'm usually about 20 years behind on my TV, so that's a tough one for me, but the only thing I can think of that I didn't think it was brilliant by any means was the Dublin thing, Kin. Is it Kin?
Oh, yeah, need to watch that.
Yeah.
Need to watch that. Nick?
I agree with you. Definitely Succession this year. I think it was perfect.
Ben?
Second season of White Lotus.
Oh, yeah, that was it. I preferred the first, bizarrely. I loved The Hotel Manager.
I liked them both. I actually watched them both this year. I'm going to give two, actually. White Lotus was brilliant. And the one that was in the kitchen in Chicago.
Oh, Bear. The Bear's good. Tense, though. Yeah, I forgot that. Boiling Point's even more tense. I don't like TV that makes me feel even more anxious. Sorry. Shout out, Barney. Right. What was I going to say then? Just a moment then, and I wasn't weighing. Winning breeds confidence. Wouldn't it be nice if we won a few games? That's the thing to go on. Right, I'm going to put facetious again. Best United goal of 2023, or I'd put, is the next one a fucking striker scores? But I think we were so happy around that League Cup. It's hard to think of a... if anyone's got a best goal, has anyone got a best moment of the year? I will say, me, Shane... Connor in that pub after Newcastle, and it was a false dawn, but we were really happy. We hadn't won a trophy in 6 years. You know, it just felt good. So that's the scarring at you know where, to put into context of why we're relieved. I don't think I've ever seen a United side so shithouse their way. I thought the season before under Ralph was terrible, but in March to just capitulate like that is unforgivable, and it will take a long time to still. It's obviously taken them a long time to get out of their system. Right, so Shane, what's your moment at United moment and goal?
Yeah, obviously the League Cup win, and you know, being in a pub after, before, after, during was brilliant. I think my moment of the year, and possibly the goal all in one, was the Derby win over City earlier this year when I said we were flirting the title. I think it was just. Like, it was great in itself, winning a derby like that. We didn't necessarily expect to be winning that game. We were on the up at that stage, everything felt good. But most, you know, I was with my son, it was great, we had a good drink afterwards. But above anything else, it shows that Old Trafford can be great still. You know, that we often criticise the home atmosphere and Old Trafford these days. But I think that's the best I've seen and heard Old Trafford for a good few years. So it had everything that day for me. So yeah, that was brilliant.
Barcelona was, you know, the buzz of that. I know it was a pointless tie, but the buzz around that. Nick?
Yeah, I was probably going to say Barcelona. I agree with Shane. I just thought I'd say something different. I thought, yeah, probably the two goals against Barcelona, because I think they won the league last season, don't forget, you know. I know they were rubbish the year before, but last season, you know, they still went on and won the league. They've obviously done all right in the Champions League so far. So I think realistically showing that you can compete on that level, home and away, both of them were great.
Yeah.
Realistically.
Yeah.
Dream. Ben?
Probably falling down the escalator at Canada Water after the cup final.
5 pints or not?
I think it was a few more than five, but
can you change mine to that as well, please? Can I change my moment to that as well?
Obviously, Shane's only cut. I'd written down the Rashford winner against City as the kind of, you know, and it's been a season. I thought, when you asked the question, I thought it's been a year of two halves, and I thought, no, actually, it's been a year of 2 months. It was good for 2 months, wasn't it? And then the next 10 months have been pretty bad. But on a personal level, I took my eldest daughter, who's 6, to 2 games this season, and that's been really enjoyable. I mean, Wolves at the end of last season was a crap game, but she loved it. And then the Brentford game, where, again, it was a dreadful game. And I'm saying to her, this is what it's usually like. And then we scored those two at the end, and she just bounced out the place, and she's just becoming obsessed off the back of that, loves McTominay. So that's really, you know, she's given me a lot, although the season's been dreadful, just watching somebody else kind of...
Yeah, great. That's what it's all... That's
been my highlight of the season.
That's what it's all about. I will add Richard Arnold, custard pie on his way out of the cake shop, and hopefully never to return, like Woodward. All these people, these chancers who come and appear and then do the Glazers' bidding, and then even pre that Kenyan Humby and all that. No real connection to United. Off you go. God knows what comes next. We'll have plenty of pods on that. 25% of what the fuck. We don't know what the fuck. Coggy, what's your moment?
Well, I was probably going to say the Newcastle final, but I spent the whole day with Wazza, so I don't know, that's tainted, isn't it? Does he listen to this, by the way?
Sometimes a miserable moany fucker.
I'm gonna probably go for Forest away in the League Cup semi-final. I just thought it was a really good performance from United. We more or less sealed the place in the final that night, and it was a cracking atmosphere.
And Woot scored. Do you remember him?
Yeah, he did.
These loan signings, we've got to compile a list of all the loans we've had in the last 10 years. I'll just say,
is he available in January?
I wonder who we will. That is, we are after a striker on loan. God help us. I've said it before. I think it'll be, he's a winger, Damari Gray. That it'll be someone from the Saudi League we'll get back. Can I just say another hate of the week? I hate when you're trying to use your phone and notifications just come up. And it's like, fuck off, fuck off. Right. We better go to next quiz in a minute because we have been a long time. Has anyone changed? I will give Shane this. I will raise an imaginary glass to clink Shane's imaginary glass and say he said last year Feliz Navidad is a good Christmas song, and I was a bit and then I've heard it a few times and I thought, good on you, Shane, you've got a good point there, but I will never ever appreciate Elf. I do not see it as good as you do, mate. Anyone changed it? Obviously Fairy Tale for this year, my mum loved it. And all the absent friends you think about Christmas and all that. As I say, people, just dig in if you can, please. Right, are we going to Nick? Has anyone got anything else to add before Nick's quiz? Is this good, Nick?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Well, you got the ultimate judge in Coggy. So his facial expressions. If he's gone Tony Soprano or Belka, we know. Let's just cut it out.
I just thought that was a bizarre question to ask Nick. Is it any good? Fucking hell, Nick's done it.
Yeah, but even he appreciated.
Nick's done it. It's not going to be good.
Even he appreciated how bad Play Your Caps Right. Sorry, Bev. You're one and only fan of it, Bev. Who will die on that hill that it was a good quiz.
It's a good fan. It will come back in some format, but not this. Next time we've got a video.
Right, come on then.
Alright. Are you ready? So, 9 questions. And it's out of 16. There's the first one's multiple choice, and then you'll get the rest as we go along. So, this is the big fat quiz of the year, but there's a tiny bit of last season in there, but it's mainly from 2023. Bit of a recap. So, question one is multiple choice. How many total appearances has Anthony Martial had under Erik ten Hag so far? Okay, this is up to date. So is it A, 20 to 30, B, 30 to 40.
Is this league?
C, yeah, total, all competitions. Oh. C, 40 to 50, or D, 50 to 60. So how many appearances has Martial had under Erik ten Hag so far?
Right.
20 to 30, 30 to 40, 40 to 50, or 40.
In the usual shit way, are you telling us the answers at the end, yeah?
Yeah, of course. So, number two. What squad number is Donny van der Beek? What squad number is it?
Do you remember when we thought Donny would be a saviour? Donny van der Beek. Why don't we have more player songs, by the way?
Do you know, Barney, I was thinking about that. Yesterday, driving down from Scotland, we don't have players
we don't.
Anymore.
And don't. We used to serenade them all from the Stretford end. It's got to sort youngsters, sort it out.
Is it,
Is it because they're all shy, do you think?
Yeah, but we used to serenade shy, like Jovanovic. Jovanovic. Yeah, Ralphie. Right, come on, Nick, sorry.
Yeah, it's just because we rehash them all, don't we, now? Like that Nacho chat.
Yeah, I don't like, we should have his own one.
Yeah, anyway. This is kind of along the lines of what Barney was just asking. Eric has 6 loan signings so far during his time as Man United manager. Name all 6. You get a point for every
Jesus.
One. Right. He's made 6 loan signings. Name them all. It's a point for each one. You did just mention one moments ago.
I will say, I think I'm moving faster than Aramba on this walk, and that is the way that that Scouser did him for pace. And I thought he did all right. He's obviously got the footballing brain, but it's just pace is just left in about 10 years ago.
Everyone out there with an answer as well.
Can you just mention the other 5 for me,
please? You can't take him anywhere.
Sorry.
So 6 loan signings need. Don't be there all day with one of them as well, because I only got 5 when I did this.
Well, I hope he's the one I just watched playing goal for someone.
Fucking hell, Barney.
I'm helping, it's Christmas.
Dear me. Right, number 4. Vegor scored 2 Manchester United goals in 31 total appearances. But which 2 teams did he score against? You get a point for each one. And again, someone just mentioned one of them before, annoyingly. Yeah. So you get a point for each one.
I didn't know we had an angry quiz master. This is like a Doctor Who villain.
No.
Question 5 is my favourite. I personally put it in there for Barney. So, number 5 is, before he was transferred to Nottingham Forest, how many goals did Anthony Elanga score in 26 appearances whilst Erik ten Hag has been manager? How many goals has Elanga scored whilst Eric has been...
Well, I remember the one under Ralph at Brentford, but that... Yeah, okay.
Number 6 is, which player scored the winning penalty against Brighton at Wembley to put United through to the final? Which player scored the last one?
I know this.
Number 7 is, our 2 biggest wins of this calendar year, so 2023, have been by a scoreline of 4-1. But which 2 teams have they come against? You get a point for each right answer. Which 2 teams have we beaten 4-1 this year?
Jesus. Good one, Nick.
It's a very, 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 very forgettable game. I went back to watch the highlights for it when I was going through that question, and I thought I was there that day and all night, and I just thought, why don't I remember this game?
One
goal, it should be memorable.
Yeah,
you would think.
I thought even we're lauding Sunday, we still didn't score. We're going to go into not just minus goal difference but minus goals per game. That's a bloody hell. Right, sorry Nick, what are we on now? 8.
Question 8, yeah. So, who has conceded more goals this calendar year? Andre Onana or David De Gea?
Good question.
Who's conceded more goals this year?
In all competitions again, yeah?
Competitions, yeah. De Gea's played 38 games, and Onana's played 25. Some form of context for you. Who's conceded more? And last question is, we've played twice at Anfield this year and we've not scored. But who was the last Manchester United player to score at Anfield?
Jesus.
Depressing question, I apologise, but...
Is it just 9, Nick? I've not missed one of them. 9 questions.
Yeah.
Okay, come on then, hit us with your room stick.
Okay, so number 1, how many total appearances has Martial had under Eric so far? It was C, which was 450. He's currently played 48 times.
Jesus. So how many goals? Do you know?
I don't know.
down. No. I don't care. Just watch Don Barney and pick a rocket.
That was said with utter dejection that Marshall induces on even the happiest of people.
Number two, what squad number is Donny? He's number 34.
Jesus, that's it. I didn't have that.
All right.
Well done, Coggy. I didn't have that.
Yeah.
I can't think of a six loney.
Well, if anyone got all six, myself on the back, because this is a great list. So you've got Vegos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dubravka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Savitzer.
Yeah.
Jack Butland.
Oh, no, that's the...
He never played, but we had him on loan. And then you've got Amrabat and good. Regular.
I've got five.
Yeah, four. People will get five on that.
Yeah, I've got four.
Please make yourself...
What was the last one you said, Nick? Amrabat and who?
Jack Regular. Butland. Oh, Regulon.
Regulon's well in with Amrabat. This year, so four long signings last year. Vegas' two goals came against Nottingham Forest and Torino at Betis. Before Elanga, Nottingham Forest, how many goals did he score in his 26 appearances under Eric Barney?
Zero
is correct. I will also accept Don Stilch.
But how many crosses did he put into an actual striker's head? You know, like, there's a tall striker in the box. Do you know what I'll do? I won't faff it back to the right back. I won't not take the man on and do silly flicks. I'll actually put it on his head. Right, sorry.
Number six.
Vic.
Anybody?
Vic. Lindelof.
It was Lindelof. Great penalty. Biggest wins of the calendar year. Still had a 4-1.
Palace.
No.
One was Real Betis.
Yeah, Real Betis was one.
I've written Fulham down, but that's a bit of a guess.
I did.
Scored at FA Cup game.
I think Fulham was the last game of the season, wasn't it? And it was.
No, I meant the FA Cup one when they imploded and everyone sent off.
No, it was Chelsea. It was the third to last home game of the season.
Jesus.
And it was just very forgettable.
How can I not remember that?
Exactly. If you watch the highlights back, you still won't remember it. And we scored four.
That's bad.
Number eight, who's conceded more goals this calendar year, Onana or Dea?
Onana.
It is. He's conceded 39 in 25 appearances. Dea conceded 38 in 38.
Jesus.
So I'll leave you with that one. Sorry, Nathan. That one's for Nathan. Because he just loves it. And finally, who was the last Manchester United player to score at Anfield?
Jesse Lingard.
Was Jesse Lingard, correct, Benjamin?
Bloody hell, I put that, but that was a total guess, that one.
9 out of 16, poor. Poor. Bad Manuing.
I got 9.
10.
10, well done, Ben. Shane?
I only got 6.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Go on the naughty step.
That's a good quiz,
like, yeah, well done, Nick. That was much better than the shambles.
Yeah, can we thank your mum for doing that for us?
That's 2 days at work, that quiz.
Well done, Nick. Can we just... Right, so we better...
I must admit, I preferred the playing the cards right thing.
Oh, God.
Bring that back next year.
Just because you did shit on it, Shane. Right, I will say, last thing, please support the Manchester Mind thing. Will end, I think we close it on New Year's Day. Please donate, and obviously the mag, please support if you can. Right, I'm going to go Coggy. I'm not going to ask you all whether you've got anything planned, because obviously you've all got something planned, but have you got a message to the readers?
My message to the readers is, obviously, we do appreciate everything you do by buying the magazine.
I think they're called listeners on this, Coggy. Sorry, the listeners.
I thought you meant the...
No, I meant both. Oh. I meant both.
Yeah, okay, just fucking cut all that out right, and start again. Now, just thanks, everybody, for supporting Red News. And as the year ends, I want you to remember one thing. When Barney goes to the toilet and grabs hold of his todger, he thinks of Man United.
Well, all right. And I'm going to ask you a simple thing. Are you United? Not the world, we can't fix that. Are you confident for United in 2024?
No.
No. Okay. Ben, message and confidence, right?
Message is, if you are listeners and not readers, why not get your subs in? And am I confident? No, I'm not. I mean, yeah, I'm not.
Shane, that was the wrong question to ask, obviously.
Yeah, I'm just going to repeat Ben. I think support the do try and support the fanzines. Like I often say, we'd be sorry.
And UWS, so I'm obviously and UWS.
And you know, and just like yeah, I think more than ever we need a voice for the fans and the fan. Yeah, Red News, you know, is an independent one from the club, and I think more than ever we're going to need that. Optimism for 2024, not really.
No. Okay, Nick.
I'd say message would be, look, if you like play your cards right, if you want to get it, we do it, but you've got to make it known, because it's a lot of effort making it.
And confidence.
The last two or three times that I've sold the mag, I don't think I can think of as many nice words as what people have said and said thank you, and, you know, even if they've come over, but I bought it last game, but I just wanted to say keep your spirits high while the weather's been crap and stuff, and it's been really nice to receive that. Even if you bought it, don't think that you can't say hello, because it's a nice community that we've got here involved with Red News as well. You know, some people on this podcast, and I'm looking at the eldest there, might be a bit questionable. Most of us here are quite nice people. So, you know, we'd really appreciate the nice words and the support, and, you know, so many people have come across and, like, you know, rounded up and given extra quids of mind and stuff like that. We've got some really nice people that read the mag, and it's damn good as well, so definitely take a chance.
That is right. For all the, I was thought you were going to say you were going to even thank the shove it up your arses, but for all of those, there's another or two lots who come up and say really kind things, and I do think the community is worth fighting for, and what we have is special. You know what? I know the next shit show is going to be soon, but let's just hold on for that little thing. Martinez gets back, but don't get bringing back too early like Arsenal. Don't overuse Manu, but I want to see him at home, because I think he'll have more confidence on the ball. He's got the pass on him. Imagine if Mount suddenly shows what he did 2 years ago. Just that iota. I know it'll be shit show, but it's Christmas. Right, now, the last question. Now, this is upbeat. What one piece of advice would you give for Christmas to people? Nick?
Oh, God. God, get pissed. Probably going to be watching these next set of fixtures.
Shane?
Watch Elf.
No, don't. Right, Ben.
I'm with Shane, Elf's great. My one piece of advice, probably just put your feet up. Don't try and do too much. Don't try and please everyone. Just have a rest, have a nice drink, enjoy your families, and try not to let United get you down.
Coggy?
Just before I answer that, by the way, the youth team won tonight 1-0 in the FA Youth Cup.
On the roll.
It was a good game. Yeah, good game. They've won all nine of their league games, the youth team. They're pretty good. My message for Christmas is cherish your family and friends.
And I will say, just take care of yourselves, people, and have a laugh where you can, and then if not, just get your heads down. Emma, this is especially for you. Get that pen pal piece written up. I want that pen pal piece. I'm not going to let this go. I'm like a dog with a bone with pieces. But I will say, we say it often, to the regiment, and the regiment is a wide group of community and so many people. So onwards, glory, glory, Man United. Thank you, everyone. And here's to imagine things did turn. We've got a dream, haven't we? All right, see you later, everyone. Thank you. Take care.
See you, lads.
See you, everyone. Bye-bye.